House lawmakers are wrangling over whether to allow optometrists to perform procedures traditionally reserved for ophthalmologists. The longstanding fight is tied up in questions of access and professional scope. I'm Nick Evans. Optometrists and ophthalmologists both work on eyes, but they have a different scope of practice. Generally speaking, an optometrist does eye exams and prescribes glasses or contacts. Dr. Ryan Smith explains, an ophthalmologist is a medical doctor, which means 4 years of medical school, a year of internship, and then 3 years of residency.
And that's the first time that you can perform these procedures on your own as an ophthalmologist, after 8 years of schooling, after college, after undergraduate. Some of us, again, do a fellowship, which is another year or two. This is extensive training afterwards. Optometry school is 4 years after undergraduate. At that point, they can begin seeing patients on their own.
But there are three states, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Louisiana, where optometrists can perform surgical procedures. Optometrist Carl Spear practices in Pensacola, but he has licenses in Kentucky and Oklahoma.
To the knowledge of any of the board members in those three states that I spoke with, to date, there has not been a malpractice claim brought against an optometrist for any of the procedures that are asked for in this bill.
Viewed one way, the fight is about money, a turf battle that's been playing out for years. And Bruce May with the Florida Society of Ophthalmology thought both sides came to an agreement in 2013.
There were many protracted hearings back in 2013. And during that process, the Speaker and the President of the Senate at the time made it clear that they were going to put an end to what they referred to as the eyeball wars. Those leaders actually demanded that the parties sign a compromise.
That deal gave optometrists the ability to prescribe about a dozen oral medications, but reserved all surgeries for ophthalmologists. But now Spear argues Florida's patient pool is growing too fast.
Taking Florida out of the equation, you look at general demographics across the U.S., in the year 2000, there's 19,000 ophthalmologists, 20,000. In the year 2025, there's going to be roughly 19,000. Residency training is not increasing. During that time period, the growth in glaucoma, macular degeneration, cataracts, and diabetic retinopathy will have increased about 3x. So somebody has got to be available to take care of those patients.
The question of access, with demand outpacing supply, is key for the measure's supporters. Here's Sebring Republican Representative Kerry Pigman.
I'm a rural physician, so access to care issues are real for me. And I've seen over the years the gradual decredentialing or leaving the hospital so that when the person comes in with an eyelid injury, worse than the ophthalmologist or the optometrist, you have me fixing it.
Pigman chairs the committee that took up and passed the measure Wednesday. He worries lack of access is hurting low-income Floridians, as more ophthalmologists refuse to accept patients whose Medicaid coverage offers lower reimbursements. And in pressing one of the measure's opponents, he alludes to the problem.
If there is an access to care issue and it's low Medicaid participation of the ophthalmologist, is there a way to fix that short of just increasing reimbursement? Because realistically, looking at the budget, I don't think that's going to happen.
Medical advances and competition are driving down the cost of optical procedures. House Speaker Richard Corcoran recently highlighted the field as an example of markets leading to greater choice and lower bills. But the stress of that market may be driving ophthalmologists away from less lucrative patients. Adding optometrists to the mix would likely only increase the competition. But whether that will lower costs and expand access enough to support Florida's neediest is far from certain. For WFSU News, I'm Nick Evans.